This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And as we said many times over, it is a choice for us to choose to rejoice each and every day, is it not? I had a tough last week. I needed that joke today. I had a very stressful last week, like I hadn't seen in a long time at work. It was good, but it was just a lot of things going on. And it's a choice every day to get up and rejoice on what the Lord has given us. And we're going to cover a few things in here that tells us, here's some opportunities that we can rejoice in the Lord and what He has given us and what He has brought us through. So as we talk about this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12, we'll read that. And it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Eric mentioned this the last couple weeks in his message. It says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." What do we call that last bit? Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That's known as what? The golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Has a scriptural basis. Whatever you want people to do for you and to you, do it for them and to them. So there's a lot of things in here, and there's some actions that fall in there and aspects of this verse. And it talks about the door. It may not mention the door specifically, but it says, "Ask, it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock on the door, and it will be opened." And I thought it was very interesting. During our praise and worship practice this morning, we were talking about that. And Kisha said, "We are the door to ushering people into the presence of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Oh, I'm talking about the door today." She said, "Really?" And then she got on talking about different things. I said, "Hang on, Kisha. Don't take my sermon here." But we were on the same page. And when we read that last song, I love it. And it just says, "Come, Holy Spirit." And it says, the Spirit is in this place. And it says, "Dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place." Is the Lord in this place today? Was He in this place 30-some years ago when we started Prayer of Faith? He was. And guess what? He's still here today. No matter what we're going through, He is still here. And He is still moving through His people. Now, are His people responding to Him? Maybe a little less these days. I heard COVID is pulling a lot of people out of normal things they do, whether it's sports or just fellowship opportunities. Not just at church, but other opportunities to fellowship. It's impacting young kids in school. It's impacting adults. It's impacting our mental health. When we pull away from those things, the fellowship of the body isn't just to fill a church building. Fellowship is for the soul. And it's for us to grow. It's for us to learn as well through fellowship. And so we talk about the door and ask and seek and knock. And then if you read the next two verses, let's read those 13 and 14. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Here's another opportunity. We're talking about a door or a gateway to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, to get into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus desires, as He's talking again, doing the Sermon on the Mount, He's talking about this is how we live if we say we want to follow Jesus. He's not giving a message about repentance here, necessarily. He's not giving a message about salvation. He does talk about repentance in here, but it's not about a salvation message. He's saying, you've done that, now you're following me. Here's the ways to live by me. Here's what we need to do when we get in those things. The door or the gate is Jesus. Ask, seek, knock. Those should be continual actions. If that's our prayer life, I knocked once, he didn't answer, I went away. Well, you just woke him up then. He was still sleeping. You should have kept knocking. So he says, was I dreaming that? No. Okay? Continually knock. Continually ask. Continually seek. These things are continuous actions, not a one-time deal. This shouldn't be, you know, as we talk about our prayer life, it shouldn't be we come to God only when we're pleading for something really important. And then we kind of forget about that stuff. Lord, you know our hearts. He talks about that in the scriptures before that. He knows our heart. Why are we praying to him if he knows our heart? Part of that is for our benefit. Remember, we've talked about connection equals change. Connection to somebody or something. And challenge equals change. Well, if we make a connection with Christ, but he's saying, here's the challenge. I want you to talk to me. He says, you plead your case to me. I'm not a magic genie that can just do anything. You plead your case to me. You tell me what's on your mind. And he'll tell you, by the way, you told Johnny this or that, but I know your heart. And that's not really what you want. And your desire is this. Lord, I want $1 million. Well, I know how you spend money. You can't hang on to $5, so I'm not giving you $1 million. The answer is no. We should ask and seek and not continually as an action and activity rather than a one-time occurrence. You don't have to go here, but in John 10:7, Jesus tells us that he is the way. And Kisha mentioned this as well. I said, Kisha, easy. Again, you're stepping on the message there. But I love when we're all in sync. And he calls for us to all be in sync, be in one accord. And he says, hey, by the way, I want to make sure you know my word. So if I say something that's not lining up with his word, you guys can call me on it. Well, the scripture doesn't say that. Here's what the scripture says. We have to know it. We have to grow together. And that fellowship allows us to get together and grow and know that stuff. But in John 10:7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. He is the way. He's the way in. And as Kisha mentioned this morning in our practice time, said, he's the provider. He's the way in and out. The enemy doesn't come in and the sheep don't go out if Jesus is a door to their life. If Jesus is a gate to their life and he's directing their path and they're following that direction, then I don't get out and wander around on my own and get lost and get devoured by the enemy. And by the way, the enemy doesn't come in. As I said, the shepherds used to lay themselves across that doorway and allow themselves to protect the sheep from getting out. And the enemies, it would be a way of them staying away from that. Jesus being the gate and the doorway, it's an opportunity for us. What kind of opportunity do we have? In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I have a great... an effective door opened by the Lord. What is he talking about there? He says, I went down to these places to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says this. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. And it's talking about those things, what I mentioned before, that Jesus will take us through these things. Notice it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. We're not defeated. Jesus was not defeated. The grave did not defeat him. He overcame the grave. And it says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Again, that's a continual process. We are being saved and others are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And I love when he says those words, you know, and talks to us about the triumph. He's telling us what opportunities we have. We have great opportunity to grow through Christ. He's opened a door for us to go and preach. He's opened a door for us to go and pray over others. And he talks about, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, he talks about our obedience to them. I love that. In verse 12, he says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me, by whom? The Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." And then he said, God leads us in triumph. And I love that. Christ leads us in triumph, which means we either were or are in some chaos. We were or are in some type of either defeat in our minds or some mess in our life. But he leads us in triumph. Someone may lead us into battle. We may think we're losing or we're getting our tails beat. But then we come out on the other side and we're victorious. And we're victors and we're winners. We're not victims. We gain these things. We gain confidence because we're victorious, because we've triumphed over these things. He is faithful to lead us out of the messes more often than not that we got our own selves into. Now, back to the asking, seeking, and knocking. We have to do that continually. When he talks about those things, let me get back here, to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, really, as he's finishing the Sermon on the Mount, it has so many beautiful things in there that tells us to do. It's not a time for us to plea for help just once necessarily, but it's a continual action that we have to do, constant communication. To do what? Constant communication to praise God, to give Him thanksgiving, but also to plead our case at times. He knows our hearts. Matthew chapter 6 tells us how to pray. Does that mean we get everything we ask for? No, again, He knows us. He knows what we're going to do to mess it up, usually. And He knows when we're not ready, but we don't see the completed picture, but He knows what it's going to look like. We want to grow a lot of times at a quicker pace than He has for us. Sometimes He wants us to grow quicker than we are. But Matthew chapter 6 tells us, here's how you should pray. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, not about the things that are here on earth, but about earthly things, about things above. Focus on those things above for us. Matthew chapter 5, flip back to that real quick. Again, he's telling us, once you've decided to follow me, here's what we do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And I love this. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." That's definitive. Not you should be salt. You should add flavor to others. But he says, you are salt of the earth. When you become mine, you're salt. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If we are called to be salt and to be light to other people, and we've lost our flavor, we're ineffective for use in the kingdom. It says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If we're walking around and we've got no salt to add to people and we have no light, again, we're useless. He tells us, man, add flavor. Add flavor to other people. They need spice. They need flavor in their life. And if we're flavorless and dark Christians, we're not lining up with God's plan for us. Somewhere in there, we are following our plan and our path, and we're not following His plan and His path. If we are, how in the world could we be flavorless salt and dark light? He's come as a light to the world. He has come as hope to the world. we are to be Christ-like. Therefore, we're to take that light into the rest of the world, into those people we hang out with, into the families, into the homes, into the workplaces. To take the flavor of Christ. He mentioned earlier, as I read in 2 Corinthians, talked about the aroma or the fragrance of Christ. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. But when we take that flavor and that light into those, it says, to the one we are aroma, the aroma of death leading to death. Those are the people that are perishing. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Those are the people in the process of being saved and a continual action of staying connected to Christ Jesus. Believers are salt and light. And if we're flavorless, dark Christians, we don't stand a chance of converting people over to Christianity. Now, Colossians. Oops, let me see if I can get there. There's my Colossians scripture. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. And it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Did you catch that? Walk in wisdom, not selfishness, not flavorless, not dark. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. Now listen carefully. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. As Christians, we have to be slower to answer, slower to anger. When we're talking and walking towards those that are on the outside, we should have salt in one hand and a light in the other hand. And greet them with open arms, willing to give that to them. Don't think that's the work of pastors only. That is the work of each and every one of us that are here today. We're to take salt and light everywhere we go. I'm going to the bar tonight. Let me put these up. I'll pick them up when I get home. Can't do that. They must go everywhere with us. They must be permanent with us. And by the way, the fellowship, what does that do? When we're standing there with our little candle out in the wind, that fellowship can gather around and protect that flame and allow it to be reignited and fire back up and encourage one another and keep one another connected. By the way, are you seeing how these scriptures all relate and connect to one another and strengthen? We talk about knocking and seeking and asking. We talk about our prayer life. And then it goes on further here in Colossians and says, continue earnestly in prayer. Continue asking. Continue knocking. Continue seeking. Being vigilant with thanksgiving. Praying for us. Knock that the door may be opened. For God would open a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. These are powerful little scriptures that can get lost easily. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Isn't that interesting? We are salt and we are light. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Hey, that's another flavorless area that we have to guard and protect carefully. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. More about prayer, more about the door. Jesus is at that door. Is he on the inside or the outside? I don't know. Let's close with this scripture. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, and then 20 and 21. Revelation 3, 8 says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. I've set before you an open door. He's a door. He's a doorkeeper. He is the gate, and he has opened it up. And he says, no one can shut it. And then as we move over to verse 20 and 21, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will dine with him. Can you imagine dining with a master and he with me? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Church, we have opportunity to share the throne with the Master. What do we have to do? He says, I stand at the door and I knock. The connection, Jesus is there. The challenge. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. The challenge is simply to open the door and let him in. Then I will dine with him and they will sit on the throne with me. Man, that's a change of life, isn't it? Connection plus challenge equals change. I asked you, I said, is he on the inside or the outside of the door? Well, it depends on what scripture you are reading. And it depends on where you are. In this one, he says, I'm on the outside. Let me in! On the other ones, he says, I'm on the inside and I can open that door for you and no one can shut it. There he says, come on in, come to my house. What's that song? I have a house, a big, big house. He has made a big, big house for us. And in one of those rooms is his throne that we get to sit with him on. Think about that. On the other side of that door lies our triumph, our victory, our success for those that overcome. We're overcomers. As Christ followers, we are overcomers. We're victors, we're overcomers. Remember, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear either. Today, remember, he stands at the door and knocks. Answer it. Answer it and let him in. And on the other ones, he says, I've opened the door. Would you just come on in? Come on in. And I invite you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the gatekeeper. We thank you for the opportunity to allow us to come in. God, we thank you that you allow us to continue to ask. You continue to allow us to seek. You don't get tired of us knocking. Father, I pray today those that are standing outside would come in. Father, those that are inside would open the door to allow Christ to come in. Lord, would you change us through continual prayer? Change us today, Lord. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.